This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Today's podcast is being recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions. Raider creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses of all sizes across the country, as well as right here in Lafayette, functioning as their complete IT department. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Lafayette Convention and Visitors Commission also provides underwriting for Discover Lafayette. To find out more about our local restaurants, festivals, music scene, and much more, visit LafayetteTravel.com. And speaking of restaurants, today's focus is on Judice Inn, which opened on April 5th, 1947. After Alcide and Mark Judice served in World War II, they built the original building, with the help, of course, of family members, under the light of flashlights after their primary day jobs were complete. With the help and support of their wives, Pearl and Gladys, the brothers opened the business on a shoestring budget, toiling long hours. Mark and Al's children, they had 7 and 6 children, respectively, supplied a large portion of the workforce. Typical starting age was about 7 years old, and waiter status was achieved at 12 years old. Word of the best hamburgers in town quickly spread throughout Acadiana. Now located in what we know as the middle of Lafayette, Judice Inn was originally considered far outside the city limits. Soon, however, students, families, and business people realized the food was worth the trip, and business took off. Our guest today, Gerald Judice, the youngest son of original proprietor Mark Judice, manages Judice Inn. Gerald is here today to talk about the restaurant's history, their hamburgers' secret sauce, and the importance of family and integrity in work ethic, which is exemplified by the iconic Judice family. Gerald, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so excited about this. When I called you to be on the show, I think I shared this with you. I asked a few people about who did they think represented iconic Lafayette. Mm-hmm. Moggy Pastor was one of those, Gerald, and she said, "You've got to talk about family." And I said, "You know, that's the most important thing, I think, in Acadiana." And I said, "I'm thinking about Gerald Judice," and she said, "Go for it." Because your family is, first of all, not only large, but you guys have been involved in so much in building Lafayette. So
my dad and my uncle were one of 17 children. So family was definitely a big part of the original part of the business, as well as the, you know, their heart and soul. So
17 children. So did they grow up in the city limits of Lafayette?
Where at the time, there was right outside the city limits, but basically right off of Bertrand Drive over there is where their family home was. Their dad was a farmer. And so all of them grew up as farmhands, and that's where you learn how to work at a young age, and you had chores, and you had your duties that you had to do before school, after school, and
that's amazing.
And such, and it traveled down to us, and I try to do that with my children as well.
Right. Well, I read online that the restaurant, Judice Inn, was built on family property. Is that correct?
It originally was a portion. I don't know if that was my grandfather's property, but it was a part of the family, one of their other relatives that they purchased it from.
Right, and that was really far out. Yeah, that was far out though, wasn't it?
When they first opened, we have a little flyer that is hanging in the restaurant that it says, it's what they would go downtown to deliver and put on cars and on storefronts, and it said only a mile and a half outside the city limits. So the city limits were not far past UL right now.
Isn't that something?
On Johnson Street.
Right.
And Johnson Street was just barely a two-lane highway.
Right.
When they first chose their location, Johnson Street was still a gravel road. Mm-hmm. The actual road was Old Maurice Highway, which runs behind Judice Inn.
Okay.
And then Johnson Street was, of course, a two-lane paved road by the time they opened the place.
Right. So Al and Mark, both they served in different areas of the military.
Right.
But after the war, they came back and decided to open up Judice Inn. What was it about burgers? Was that a family favorite? Do you know that? Why they chose
I'm ashamed
those?
To say that I can't tell you exactly how they steered toward burgers, but they, like I said, growing up on the farm and being used to the farm atmosphere, they decided that that was not the way they were going to make their living. Uh-huh. Uncle Al was working with the railroad when he first got back. I believe Dad was at Lafayette Hardware downtown. Mm-hmm. And they decided to open the restaurant. And most of their family and friends and most of the city told them they were crazy to open a place that far out of town. They would never make it.
But that was land they could get access to.
That was land they could have access to. Yeah, right.
And I read also that they, you know, it was with the help of family. So they worked all day. And then the family would pitch in, but the building was actually built after hours.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, we had electricity then, but you know, there wasn't much lighting around there if it was out in the country.
Yeah, the two brothers, as well as their other brothers, they were, uh-huh. like I said, they were a family of 17, so they had no shortage of help in the beginning. But
you can almost picture your grandmother like flipping out burgers for 17 kids. Maybe that's why they chose it, just simplicity's sake. So, yeah. So in the early days, I guess you can maybe share with us some of the family lore. Like they opened up, as I said, April 5th, 1947. I mean, 71 and a half years ago. It seems like it took off pretty quickly. I guess word spread that there was a hamburger joint.
Quickly, looking backwards, might sound like a short period of time, mm-hmm. but really, it was probably 4 or 5 years before they really started doing really well with the uh-huh. business. I mean, looking backwards now, I say, well, they opened in 47. It was right. doing well by the 50s. Well, when you're opening a business,
that's
a long time to be doing that. And in the original years, they would actually, like those little flyers, like I said, they would run out after church, after services and things like that. They mm-hmm. would put these flyers out all over town. Then they'd run back and wait and see if anybody would show up.
That's so cute.
And of course, I keep referring back to the same thing, but being from a large family, they were known by everybody in the city. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, there were a few large families in the city, and so you knew one of the Judices.
Right.
So people knew that their place was out there. Mm-hmm. It was just getting people to go out to try them as far as you know, getting that far down the road. Of course, back then, horse and buggy were a lot more, you know, horses at least were a lot more a mode of transportation for a lot of the people.
So it was an outing.
So
from the beginning, they had a simple menu. Mm-hmm. Is that right? I mean, they have what I think it's the iconic secret sauce. Was that was there from the beginning when
that
they opened
was,
up?
That was something that they chose to use. It was actually one of their aunts that made it mm-hmm. as a family sauce, mm-hmm. so to speak. I believe it was used for other things other than hamburgers, but they really liked it, and right. they asked her permission to use her recipe, and she approved, of course, uh-huh. Aunt Mamie. And then from then on, it was our unique thing. They also had their unique brand of seasoning, and they mix their own seasoning mix. There's nothing store-bought as far as I should, you know, the ingredients are store-bought, mm-hmm. but I mean, everything is mixed to their own recipes, the meat mixtures, the sauce, of course, and then mm-hmm. the other things that we serve.
Right.
And our menu is basically the same thing that they opened up with in 47.
Well, you know, it's so easy because you know you either want a hamburger or a hamburger with an egg mm-hmm. or cheese or ham or an egg on everything. It's just when you look at it, it's like, I just want to go eat everything on the menu. It's so simple, but it's better than anything you can ever make at home.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, there's basically only 5 or 6 ingredients uh-huh. in the whole restaurant, so...
Yeah, and no French fries.
No French fries.
So they just decided to keep that element out from the beginning, or was that even something people ate that much back
then?
Well,
at the time, I mean, you got to remember in 47, there was no McDonald's, Burger mm-hmm. King, or any of these fast food places out there. So they simply chose, and the place was very small, they mm-hmm. simply chose to add chips with their burgers, and that's how they started. Mm-hmm. My dad and my Uncle Al were also very stubborn men, so once they decided something, that's the way it was.
Right.
And so in years to come, we were serving burgers and chips, and that's what we served.
Uh-huh.
And so when other places opening and people continue to ask, you know, why don't mm-hmm. you add fries? Why don't you add fries? Because their answer was simple, because we don't do that.
Right. You think that your wife might agree that perhaps that stubborn streak was inherited by some of the children?
No, I think it faded away.
Linda's in here with
I'm
us.
Sure it's at least a lot more... watered down than the old folks.
Yeah, we'll talk later, Linda. Yeah. So for years, Al and Mark ran the Judy's Inn. They ran the restaurant. And before the show started, we were talking about when you began your career there. I mean, you were in college when you stepped in to help the family. You want to talk about that some?
Yeah, well, I mean, pretty much all of us worked at Judy's Inn growing up. Mm-hmm. As children, our business was it was a drive-in, so we waited, we car hopped, mm-hmm. and we waited on people out in the parking lots and stuff. We sold a lot of adult beverages as well as the hamburgers at the time.
Oh.
It was a popular place to come hang out.
Worth a buggy ride,
you know.
Yeah.
So we sold quite a bit of beer at one time. Judy's Inn actually sold more draft beer than the next three bars in Lafayette at the time.
Wow.
So we were a popular place for the burgers, but we were one of the very few places that you could go get a cheap meal and have a cold beer with it as well. So
outside, it was like you drove up and somebody would come to the window?
They'd either honk their horn, or if they had to honk their horn, then Dad and them didn't appreciate that too much, because we were supposed to be on our toes and watching. When a car drove up, you got out there.
Right.
So, but basically, so we had the car hop business, and all of us started roughly 7 or 8, 9 years old.
Yeah,
we were out there, not mm-hmm. waiting tables yet and stuff, or waiting on the cars yet, but we'd go pick up the lot, mm-hmm. clean up the place, clean up the restrooms, clean up the grounds.
Yeah.
And that was our starting deal.
And so they would give us
a little tidbit. Mm-hmm. And actually, we probably made more off of picking up change off the parking lot when we were cleaning it, just from the people dropping there
after the beer
their
they
change,
had.
Yeah. But
it was
a source for us to make mm-hmm. a little bit of fun money
and also learn
a little bit something about that you have to earn the things uh-huh. that you get and there's ways to do that if you open up. So.
And you're the youngest child, right?
I'm the youngest of the two families, right? Uh-huh. Right.
Right. So you were coming up. You were at USL. Was it USL at the time?
Right. Right.
And so you were in college mm-hmm. and needed to step in to help the family.
After my freshman year of college, my dad had a stroke that summer, and so. You know, they didn't have a large workforce. We really have never had a tremendously large workforce. It's we have just enough to fill the shifts that we need and mm-hmm. to keep up with the people that we need. But at the time, you know, Dad and him were working 60, 65 hours a week.
Yeah,
it was not just their job. That was their life. That mm-hmm. was everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Dad had his stroke, we needed someone to step in. And I was the only one left. All my brothers and sisters, most of my cousins had graduated college already.
Mm-hmm.
They were off in their careers doing their thing. And of course, I didn't mind either. I'd step in and help out with Dad's side of the business, as well as to make sure that my uncle didn't fall sick trying to cover the whole base. We also had several other family members that were still working with us. Ashton Landry was one of their nephews that had been with us for several years.
Uh-huh.
He worked with us for roughly 40, 45 years. But I kind of took on Dad's duties, so to speak, in college.
And you stayed a full-time student
in college.
And it was
going to be, right. Uh-huh. It was going to be, initially, I didn't plan on staying there for my career. It was going to be for 4 or 5 years just to get it mm-hmm. up and running. And
what did you want to do?
I graduated in finance. I saw myself as a broker or a banker or mm-hmm. somewhere in the financial industry. But I didn't waste my education because mm-hmm. I've used my financial knowledge as far as on the side businesses. I've done a lot of other things over the years as well.
Yeah.
So it turned out very well.
Yeah. So you're, I don't want to bring up sad topics, but I mean, your uncle and father passed away years ago.
Right.
And
right.
so you've been managing the restaurant for how long now?
Roughly 35 years or so.
Yeah.
My dad had his strokes around the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle was in very good shape, very good health. But he developed cancer and literally passed from the time he was diagnosed to the time he passed was only about 8 months, maybe 10 months at the
right.
most.
Right.
And that was in 1988 when he passed. And my dad had gotten stronger again. He was mm-hmm. managing a lot. He couldn't do a lot of the physical activity, but he was still there uh-huh. and around. Then Dad passed away in 92. And
it's been a while.
You know, my status was pretty much to maintain the mm-hmm. the two older owners as they got older, as well as my mother and my aunt. And so I basically kept running the place to make sure that they had a comfortable retirement, so to speak.
Yeah, right.
and and it's gone on from there.
I've had
a couple of sideline careers on along the way.
What else?
But
have
it
been
never
doing?
Really did.
Yeah.
I was actually a financial advisor for about 2 years with a company here in town, and it got to the point where they needed me to separate from the restaurant if I wanted to continue that career, because they set goals for me, and I met those goals, and therefore they said, well, you don't need this restaurant if you're going in this direction. But that was never an option, and that, you know.
Yeah, I understand. It's in your blood at this point. I mean, that's a family tradition.
Well, it was to help out my mother and my aunt, but it was also, it was our legacy of our fathers. And,
right.
and basically, it was my father and my uncle. We considered them both like our fathers and our mothers. It was two families that grew up as one.
Right.
We were raised right across the street from each other. We were all raised through Judy Sin and in Judy Sin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we often just intermingled. People never knew which family one of us was from.
Right.
They just knew we were the Judy Sin people.
You know? Yeah, before we started, I had to say, Mark is your older brother, right?
Right.
And I figured that because your granddad's named Mark, but I know. So is it still a family-owned business?
Right.
Does everybody, the descendants, own the company?
Yeah, over the years, I made efforts to either buy it or acquire it from the rest of them, but it's more than a business to these two families and the people within it. It of course is a business, but on the same token, it's been more of our little piece of history. It's our memorial to our parents.
Right.
It's something that we all, like I said, all worked in as children and young adults. So there's a lot more heartfelt dedication to the business than there is the actual dollars and cents that the business does.
And they want to maintain
that. And they maintain that.
So history, too, right.
At this point, there's 13 owners.
Yeah, so no ketchup and no fries, right?
Oh, no. My dad and them used to joke, but it wasn't really a joke to them, that ketchup was for bad food because it just hides the taste of whatever you're doing. So
that's
what you throw on food to make, you know, to hide the taste.
And
you don't need to hide our taste.
It's almost an insult to the chef when you pull out the ketchup, you know. So, what about the rest of the family? I know y'all have children. Anybody interested in working with the restaurant, you know, as you look ahead at your retirement one day?
Almost all the descendants of Al and Mark, the grandchildren and such, have spent time in the Inn. They've all worked through there, usually through college and some a little bit in high school and through college. At this point, we don't have anyone that has decided to make that a career. At some point, I'm hoping someone does, because it's time for me to be to be stepping out for a while. But
maybe
and
a
I'm
little
sure,
Abby.
I'm sure with the next generation, it will probably be viewed more as a business and expanded and probably other locations. And God forbid, maybe those fries might show up one day, but it won't be under my watch.
Not while you're around. Huh? So they must have, you know, going back to the original business, when did they change from having the car hop? You know, did they expand the original space? Was it not the same? It's small now, but I mean, was it not that size when it was first opened?
It was actually much smaller when they opened.
That's why everybody was outside.
Almost all the business was car hop business in the early days.
Mm-hmm. It's
now,
pretty tight.
The business was expanded not by your normal means. They didn't sit down and plan it and say, okay, we're going to add a wing or something like that. Every expansion that took place at the Inn was basically because of a mini disaster.
Oh.
They expanded the kitchen one time when it caught on fire, and so they said, well, as long as they're fixing it, let's knock out the wall and we'll add some space back here. And
then
a car actually ran into the front wall of Judy's Inn, and that's how they expanded to the front, an extra, you know, 10 or 12 feet or something like that. I figured as long as they were repairing, let's go ahead and add on a little bit.
And put some tables
in there. That happened about 3 or 4 times during the course of the early days.
Wow.
Really? But there hasn't been any expansion, so to speak, in the last, almost since I've been there. So about 30 years or so.
Yeah.
The only so-called expansion that we've done is in the last 2 years, I took over some of the rental property that is next to Judy's Inn. And now we have what we call a side room that we were using for parties or smaller events. And now it has become just extra seating. People are starting to use that as an overflow seating for the restaurant and everything.
Right.
Now, the car hop business, people often ask me, why did y'all ever quit that? You know, and the answer is we never really did. it just got less and less popular over the years. Mm-hmm. I guess in the 70s and the early 80s, we still had a pretty strong business outside. Mm-hmm. And through the mid 80s or so, and Judy's Inn, just like every other business, when the oil industry went down, it, you know, the city as a whole suffered.
Right.
And Judy's Inn did as well. But in general, the car hop business just basically slowly faded away. People, mm-hmm. when we had a little bit more seating inside, people mm-hmm. started coming in. And once you get used to air conditioning, people don't want to sit out in their car anymore and have that hot hamburger in a hot car.
Well, even more than that, it's really a hangout. I mean, I know that that's why people like to go there. Don't you have a famous booth, too? I mean, you've got people have been hanging out there for years and then their families. So that's part of the fun.
Yeah, those old, I shouldn't say old, the gentlemen that came almost daily over there, we called our Booth 2 group, mm-hmm. and they'd come almost every day after work. It was a group of about 15 or 16 men, and not all of them would come every day, but there was always 5 to 6 or 7 of them there every day. Uh-huh. And talk about it as a diverse group as you could possibly imagine. I mean, we had university professors, we had carpenters, we had painters, we had attorneys, we had bank vice presidents and such. So, and I think that was part of our education as young men.
Yeah.
Is you know, we were their entertainment. So they basically would talk to us and
that's cool.
Joke with us as well as teach us things about what they do and what we wanted to do. And, mm-hmm. and we learned a lot from those men as well. And we became very fond of those gentlemen over the years.
Were they friends growing up, or did they just make friendships?
I think they became
out there. I mean,
I think they became friends through my dad and my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and my uncle were very strict and stern men, like I said earlier, very stubborn men. But they were very likable, and they mm-hmm. I didn't know anybody that my dad didn't know, and like I said, the city was a little smaller back then. But mm-hmm. even as Lafayette grew, he was widely respected. They weren't very wealthy, and they certainly weren't very worldly in a little hamburger stand. But they were widely respected.
Mm-hmm.
People
very much.
Would catch me on the side of the road and say, "Man, your dad is something else." You know, and it was things that stuck with me.
Right, right.
Over the years, for sure.
Well, I know the family's so well respected, and I read that there was a scholarship set up in the business school at UL Lafayette in honor of your family. Would you talk about that a little bit?
One of my brothers, Michael Judice, mm-hmm. a physician here mm-hmm. in town. He was, and he still is, associated with the Alumni Association, and they were looking for donors to start these
endowed
professorships.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so he approached the family and just said, you know, hey, why don't we each put together and see if we can't mm-hmm. do this? We were very fortunate, all 13 of us. My dad and my uncle put us through private school. Mm-hmm. And then put us all through UL or USL at the time, of course. Mm-hmm. And we were very proud of that. And so it was something that we wanted to try to kick back and do. So when Michael brought it up, there was 2 or 3 people that were interested. I'm going to go back and forth now. Our family of 13 of us, we stretch in almost every industry there is. We have doctors, lawyers, engineers, educators, nurses, mm-hmm. Teachers.
Yeah.
It's a wide variety of professions.
Talent, yeah.
So when it came up, I suggested to Michael and to the whole group, say, well, you know, Judy's Inn and Dad and Uncle Al are what we're so proud of as far as, you know, and we support UL wholeheartedly. So I suggested that the business itself make the donation from all of us, mm-hmm. and it's something we could all be a piece of.
Right.
So we did that in Daddy and Uncle Al's name,
mm-hmm.
and that's something we're very proud of as well.
I know they would be so proud of you and your family. That's just an awesome tribute. Well, what are some things, you know, it sounds like you were blessed to come up in the family that you were raised in. What are how would you define your father and your uncle? It sounds like they were, you know, two men of substance. What do you think the legacy is?
Well, and I think you could find that around South Louisiana, period. But family was first and foremost. There was definitely a tie between them and their brothers, their sisters, even with that larger family. Often as a child, he would load up the kids, whoever was at the house, load up the kids, and we'd go visit Uncle So-and-so or Aunt So-and-so. That was a typical Saturday or Sunday if he happened to be off that day.
Right.
And, you know, we... that entire group was a, I don't want to say it in a negative way, there was a stubborn group. So, you know, you would think that families could get divided in that sense, but they all were very close, very mm-hmm. tight. They would do anything for each other at any time. And that was instilled in us at a very young age, mm-hmm. and we are the same way. And there's been a lot of discussion over the years, such as the growth of Judy Sin, doing this, doing that. And whenever the discussion gets to where someone is offended or someone doesn't like, it ends. And because us being together is more important than the financial rewards we might receive on trying to grow the business. Right. And we also don't want to interrupt, you know, what my dad and my uncle built. Mm-hmm. It's there. I don't use the wrong word, but they're memorial to us as well. It's something that their legacy. Mm-hmm. We're actually listed on the local parish historic places, so it's a source of pride for us as well as a business. So that is a financial aid as well.
Oh, how I wish everybody had that same feeling about family first. It would really really make a difference in our society. And then there were two wives, Al and your dad, Mark's wives. Would you talk about that? They were a backbone behind this industry, growing it.
By far. my Aunt Pearl and my mother was Gladys Bork, and then Aunt Pearl was Pearl Cormier. Aunt Pearl grew up in Cecilia, and I don't remember exactly how Aunt Pearl and Uncle Al met, but and then my mom grew up in Cade. But anyway, I mean, they were the backbone of the business, basically, mm-hmm. because they were the ones that were home cooking the sauce. They had to take care of 6 and 7 children, respectively.
Especially in those early days.
As well as they were in charge of, you know, cleaning uniforms, aprons, all of the other chores that are involved in the restaurant. We didn't hire out. We didn't. Yeah, everything came out of our homes. The sauce was always made at home. Mm-hmm. The aprons and all the cleaning products were made at home. The seasonings were made at home. So, I mean, they were as much a part of the restaurant as Dad and Al, even though they didn't actually spend time in the restaurant, as much time in the restaurant as the rest of us did.
Nobody could slack off.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, I read online that there were some things that you and your siblings are grateful for, and it's for the college educations which you provided and the work ethic and the respect of the many that have seen your family, you know, the success you've had and the following that's allowed your family to be successful, and then to have that hangout, which I know is so important, to have that original Judy's Inn, which is now in the middle of town, that really is an icon. And I want to mention, Gerald, John, my husband, and I were in New Orleans recently, and there were a group of servicemen from all over the country. Mm-hmm. We were staying in Metairie. We had gone to something in New Orleans, and there were like 100 servicemen of all ages. And a few of them told me whenever they travel through South Louisiana, they get off in Lafayette, and do you know where they go? Judy's Inn. And I said, really? Yeah. And I've heard that from others, but they don't even live in this area of the country. But they said, whenever we're traveling through. So it's iconic, not just us here in South Louisiana, but, you know, I think it's on the map. It's on the radar nationally, which is saying quite a bit.
Well, for being such a small place, and we don't really have a social media presence, we don't have a whole lot of advertising, period. Dadnam's advertising, and I continue that, is basically what we'd like to donate to. So we'll advertise with UL to help the UL. Mm-hmm. We advertise with some of the local schools, high schools, and elementaries. Basically, it's a duo purpose. Basically, mm-hmm. it helps out the schools, it helps out the university, and it also gets our name out there a little bit. But I can't tell you how many times me or my brothers or sisters are traveling somewhere, and someone will pull it out of the mm-hmm. blue. Oh, Lafayette, there's a little place over there, and it amazes us. I don't have an explanation for that, but we're very proud when it does happen.
Well, I like your website. I know Abby, your daughter, set that up for you, and it almost seems as though it would be disrespectful to have a lot of social media. Can you imagine Mark and Al, you know, taking a selfie? No. You know, I think
they weren't very fond of pictures at all. But, that's one thing that we are a little bit mm-hmm. upset, not upset, I shouldn't say that,
there's
but
not a
disappointed.
Lot.
There's not a lot of pictures of the early days. Mm-hmm. If the few that we have on the website and even in our physical possession is a few that their sisters or family members took of them or took of the building when they first opened, because they weren't pictures. They were busy working.
Yeah,
that's not important, you know.
Right.
But it's I wish we did have a little bit more of a pictorial history over the years, but.
I think what you're doing is just fine, and your work, you know, your product speaks for itself. And we're actually here with Jason Sikora of Raider Solutions. Jason hasn't lived here his whole life, and so I'm kind of curious if you know much about Judy Sin.
Well, I do know they have the best burger in town.
Mm-hmm.
I know that much.
thank you.
for those who aren't from here or who are just driving through, where's it located again?
Exactly, on 3134 in Johnson Street.
Okay, and that's by the movie theater, right?
It's right across from the Grand Theater.
Okay, which isn't too far from the park either.
The New Moncas Park will be almost catacorner from us, right?
Okay,
there,
so. Gotcha. And then what's the website?
It's judysin.com.
Oh, that's easy to remember. okay, so the secret sauce.
How secret is it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. How secret is it? Like, it's still a family secret? Nobody else knows it?
At this point in time, me and my wife are the only two that cook it.
Really?
Oh.
My mother and my aunt did it for years. I'm sure my brothers and sisters could do it if they had to, because we were around it all the time. But no one else cooks it or makes it but myself and my wife.
I was going to ask, how do you keep it a secret? But yeah, if it's only two people.
Now, on that, was it a piece of paper that you were given with the ingredients, or was it just watching it and it's in the head?
You're watching and you're told. Yes.
So we can't break in your house and find a piece of paper? Okay.
What's been the biggest change in business in running a restaurant since you took over versus now?
I would say... from when I first started working there, we were mostly a car hop business, and we actually, I would compare us more to what I would say Pete's was at one time. We did sell a lot of beer and burgers, and now we're almost 90% the burgers. The beer sales and other sales are a lot smaller than they used to be. We have a lot more inside business, since we've expanded just a little bit, even that little side room with the extra tables, we have a lot more people coming in to sit and eat at the inn rather than pick up and take it to go and stuff like that.
Well, speaking of expanding, is there anything else that you would want to do that you haven't had a chance yet, like expand further or more locations? Or
we've been talking about more locations for several years. With our children going through college and leaving, it's hard to position ourselves in to have it family run the way. Also, like I said earlier, we're a very close family, and a lot of us have different opinions on how that should take place, because we don't want to interrupt the original building, original business that we have now. So whenever we have a discrepancy on whether we should or not, we just drop it and keep talking about it for the future. I think the next generation will probably look at more of the business aspects and begin to grow it.
Okay. But you expect it to stay in the family fully?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. We're in the process right now of doing another smaller enlargement, basically just enclosing the front of the business include that little side room that I'm speaking of, to where we'll have a few more seats, but it'll open up a lot more seating within the restaurant at the original space.
Gotcha. And then finally, what's your favorite part about running a restaurant, and what's the hardest part about running a restaurant?
My favorite part about running a restaurant, I guess, would be the countless amount of people you get to meet and get to interact with. Some of my employees think, like I did of my dad, they think I know everyone, because, you know, when they come in, it's, hey, Gerald, and I get to know a lot about people that we just start talking about their families, their businesses and things. I'm ashamed to say that I could tell you some people that walk into the inn, I could tell you what they do, where their kids are and what they do for a living, but I couldn't tell you their name.
Right.
It's too late to ask. And I've seen them, you know. 45 times is like, you know, but, you know, just getting to know people and getting to interact with the public as much as we do. And, I mean, the hard part or the other side of the coin is it's not as easy or as fun as people think it is, you know. It's not all chatting with people and doing that stuff. There's a lot of labor involved in a restaurant. There's a lot of headache around in a restaurant. There's a lot of turnover in a restaurant. So you're constantly training and bringing in new people, and it's a really neat experience to see a kid come in at 18 or 19 where it's probably his first job and he doesn't never learned mm-hmm. a whole lot about work. And by the time they leave, most of them, I feel very comfortable that they've learned a whole lot more than just yeah. going home with a few bucks in their pocket and selling a couple of burgers. Mm-hmm. I hopefully I teach them or we teach them a lot more about life mm-hmm. and a lot more about business than just the average fast food guy might
right.
might
of
get.
Course.
Yeah, yeah. I work in the kitchen, and yeah, it can be grueling work. So, I mean, hats off to the cooks back there. Well, thank you again for being here, and Jan, thank you for letting me jump in.
This has been such a pleasure, and I want to share with you, Gerald, every restaurateur that we've had on Discover Lafayette, mm-hmm. they've all loved what they do. And yet, I've learned so much about the long hours and the commitment, because you've got to be there no matter what. And sometimes people just don't show up, and as the owner manager, yeah. they're the fallback. So it's a commitment.
That's true. Yeah. And it goes through cycles. You mm-hmm. know, you'll have times where you have great crews, and I've definitely experienced that over the years. And there's time like, well, within the last year, I've had about an 80% turnover of my employees. It just so happened that at X amount were graduating, or X amount were finding another job, or moving on to other deals. So that does happen from time to time, and you got to be ready for it.
Right. That was in the past
year. And you're the last one, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So here you are. Yeah. Merry Christmas, and let's get to work. Well, I want to thank you so much, Gerald Giudice of Giudice Inn, for taking time during the Christmas holiday season. And I want to thank you, Linda. I know you didn't want to be on the loudspeaker, but it's such a pleasure to see you. And I want to congratulate you and your family on so many years of successful service. It's really been, you know, made a difference, I think, in Lafayette's history when people look back.
Well, thank you very much. And yeah. I appreciate y'all remembering us, because it's times like this that we're very proud of the mm-hmm. location, and very proud of what our parents built from scratch. And
yeah.
it's one of our little, like I said, our little pieces of history that we maintain and keep going. Mm-hmm. So we're glad to be remembered and glad to be a part of this area.
Family first mm-hmm. is the message of this podcast. So thank you for that. And I want to thank our listeners of Discover Lafayette. You can find this podcast and all of our podcasts at discoverlafayette.net. You can subscribe on iTunes or anywhere that you get your podcast. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift.